Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
I'm going to die tonight. Not by choice. All influence I may have had over my eventual passing was robbed from me. Stolen. The moment I took my first hit of Morsanima. The drug that kills your soul. A bad week. A tiny gold pill. And a girl who looks one way in the moment and another when you think back on her the next day. That's all it took for my 22 years to crash to a halt. Seems almost funny, doesn't it? An entire person was wiped out almost in an instant because of a single bad decision. As I have learned, and you will too, when all is said and done, a person really isn't that substantial a thing. I was at the wrong kind of party last night. A friend's friend's acquaintance's birthday or housewarming or something. Found myself in a house off campus in the part of town I'm not local enough to have known to avoid. I'd been buried in Bayesian algorithms and midterm prep, aka a metric ton of stress all week. Friday was met head on. I was already buzzed when we reached the sagging Dutch Gambrel. I was messed up by the time I met Cassis. I put my cards on the table. I hadn't only been drinking. You can judge. I don't blame you. Mom and Dad would if they knew, and knowing they'd hate me doing it is exactly why I snorted, smoked, or ingested party favors of various kinds when they were available. Not to beat around the bush. I was a couple of lines of something far more mainstream and pathetic than Morsanima when I broke away from the main herd in the living room. I found my way into a back room. Cassis was waiting for me in that part of the house party where newly formed couples gravitate to copulate. I was alone, a trespasser mistaking this sacred second living room, I think, at least, for a path to a place to take a piss. Sweat wasn't the only thing I smelled, though, when I stumbled through the door. Another scent hung on the dimly lit air, so I followed my nose deeper into the darkness. Spinning vision and treacherous feet threatened to impede me as I fought past the inhibition-free revelers exploring one another in various lounging chairs. Cassis was all the way at the opposite end of the room, but the smoke from the blunts between her lips steered me true amongst the swirling shadows and bodies. She knew I'd be coming, not by name or face, but by circumstance and purpose. Something like me always comes. It was the only reason she was there, and I'm sure also the reason my friend's friend's acquaintance swears blind they don't know her. Neither does my friend's friend, my friend, or anyone else I managed to track down who was there. She doesn't exist on any social media platform or anywhere accessible by a quick Google search either. Cassis is a pretty specific name, after all. I did a little digging this morning before I gave up hope. I found her, in the end, but buried deep. So deep that, as mad as it sounds... No. I want to tell you about her first, and about the little gold pill. You'll think I'm insane otherwise. I'm also half hoping that midway through writing this, I'll wake up, or come down from this incredibly bad trip. I don't think I will, though. The itch is too strong for this not to be real. The bruises hurt too much. She told me her name was Cassis when I sat down on the couch next to her, before I'd had a chance to open my mouth and say a word. Before I could answer her first question, she fired the next, which was if I wanted to fuck her. I did, but I said no. She was beautiful, I think, at least. But I was drunk, and had shoved more than one line of powdery responsibility up my nose. Know thyself, right? There's a limit to how messed up I can get before inebriation evolves into impotence, and I'd passed it 4 tequila slammers ago. I told her my name, and that the only thing I wanted to fuck was my brain with as many chemicals as possible. This made her smirk, which I remember because I couldn't stop staring at her lips. The fullest, reddest, most velveteen kissers I'd ever laid eyes on. Two glistening scarlet slugs straight out of a hand-printed wartime pinup. Plump, moist, ripe. That's what my brain saw. My eyes begged to differ. The reported words like withered, dry, cracked. My vision sent news of parched leather stretched taut across the gnarled fangs of a long-dead Egyptian warrior king. But in the same way it rotated the flipped perspective sent by my gravity-ignorant eyes, so too did my brain rework those paperish folds into a vision of Da Vincian grace. I was fucked up, but I wasn't that fucked up. I saw both versions of Cassus, clearly and simultaneously. But the beauty of one had my mind ignoring... No, not ignoring... blocking out the horror of the other. It was only with the hindsight of the following morning my brain realized its mistake. Too late by then, of course. Cassus was full of life, the most beautiful thing I'd seen amongst all objects and individuals. Cassus was the face of graveyards, the silence of undisturbed crypts given form. Both of these things were true, although I couldn't perceive her duality clearly until I'd returned from where the little gold pills sent me. After the Morsanima took me on the only trip we ever really took, though it wasn't just her, was it? I can see the truth of everyone now. Cassus, myself, the copulating, inebriated creatures I ran screaming past as I fled the party. That's how I know last night was my last night. No more mornings on my horizon, because there is no horizon. After I write this, I leave, and it all ends. I had to smash the mirror. It's a hard enough pill to swallow without the constant reminder. Oh, that's a metaphorical pill, you understand. I meant my messed up situation is almost too messed up to take. The little golden pill wasn't too difficult to swallow. That went down easy, both literally in my throat and figuratively as a sales pitch when Cassus began her spiel. She promised me that if I wanted to get fucked up, she had something that would fuck me up more than any pill, powder, or even needle prick on the planet. As I'm sure you can gather, she wasn't lying. Last night I laughed it off as typical dealer bravado. I told her the blunt smelled tasty, but I doubted she had anything better than what I'd put in my system already. I didn't put it so eloquently, of course. I was fucked up. What I said was a...
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets, with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Slurred mess, but because I was fucked up, I can't recall the specific mashed syllables verbatim. The clear memories don't start until after I take the little golden pill. The memories that aren't of Cassus, that is. No. Cassus, I can remember just fine. Any memories of her got filed away crystal clear as the moments they happened, ready to recollect and recall at a moment's notice. I don't think I'll ever forget the husky breaths between her words, how they swayed like the hips of a salsa dancer and shuddered like the sobs of a grieving young mother. The way she moves in her oversized jeans and hoodie will probably be the last thing I see before I go. The mesmerizing flowing twitch of her arms when her supple skeletal hands pull out a baggie full of little gold pills from the folds. Her eyes, too. My obviously absent god. Her eyes. Her fucking eyes. I knew it wasn't booze goggles that put that shimmering in her gaze even then. In the moment, I found it entrancing, enticing. Afterwards, I saw with clarity just how wrong I'd been. How obvious it was that the dancing crimson light where the soft lampshade should have been reflected was a warning. Her dark eyes were the only part of Cassis to remain unchanged in either of her simultaneous faces. I'd relive that rough shimmer in your pupils over and over until I was an old man. If it were my fate to live to be one, at least. As the gnawing itch to pick up the card is testament to, though, I definitely fucking won't be. The little golden pill. It was cold. Cold as the brief brushes of Cassis' fingers against my open palm when she dropped it into my hand. She was straight with me. This little golden pill, Morsanima, would kill my soul and send it to the afterlife. Give me a sneak peek, while my living but empty remained here, amongst the swirling room and occasionally moaning, sweaty, half-clothed bodies. Again, I just thought it was dealer bravado. I also wasn't paying attention. While my eyes and my brain were fighting over whether I spoke to a Madonna or morgue escapee, the useless flesh between my legs was loudly concerned with the mysterious flesh between hers. Since my brain's back was turned, my crotch upped the odds of a go-nowhere drunken encounter by popping the little gold pill into my mouth. I'll show the hot pillhead chick I'm not chicken shit, was the stupid-as-fuck male bravado bullshit reasoning. She was smirking again, the light brighter on her glistening lips than it was in the room, the hollow sockets around her sinew-suspended eyes darker than the moonless night sky beyond the busted blinds.
Trust me, Simon. Once you're back, you won't want to wait long for your second hit. You'll even want to die for it.
I'll believe that when I see it. That's what all the hot dealer chicks say about their designer E-Adderall bullshit. That's what I wanted to say. That's why I instantly knew something was wrong, because the words that came out of my mouth were, "There's a light." I heard myself speak, but by the time the sentence finished, my words were echoing, and I wasn't at the party anymore. I was somewhere else. Somewhere with, well, with light. That's all there was. Light and the sensation of falling. There was no transition, you understand, and it's not that I was too fucked up to remember passing out on the couch or something. I didn't see myself fly out of my body. I was talking to the girl with two faces, aware with drunken, fucked-up dimness that something cold and little and gold was sliding down my throat. And then, in less than a blink, there was only light. Light and falling. The former was brief, whereas the latter was just the beginning of my nightmare. The light wasn't white. Hollywood's been fucking lying to all of us. It's red, the same malevolent honey-trap scarlet that writhed in Cassis' eyes. It wasn't all-encompassing, but it wasn't at the end of a tunnel, either. It was in a hole in a ceiling I couldn't see, because I'm pretty sure it wasn't there. Aside from the 25-foot circular light I'd just fallen out of, there were no surroundings in this place, if you could even call it a place. The overwhelming totality of the empty void that stretched on forever in all directions except below couldn't even be called blackness. Deep space has a blackness, an absence of light. This was an absence beyond that, an absence of the very emptiness which the darkness of interstellar gulfs represents, an absence so total it cannot contain even observations of itself in the minds of others. An inversion of the potential for abundance. I'd have gone mad thinking about it if it weren't for one fact. In this endless, empty, non-place, I wasn't alone. There were people falling with me. No sooner had I realized this, I was plummeting away from the red light, than it was blocked from my vision by the silhouette of something else materializing within it. A man, old and wrinkled. He was naked, screaming, flailing his arms and legs as he tumbled, and when my wits caught up with me, I realized I was too. There was no wind to whistle past me, but I could feel the meat hooks wrenching, pull my bladder into my gut. The signal from my body that it was hurtling towards the ground at high speed. Soon, the man was replaced by two more naked figures above him, and so on. The further I fell from the dwindling light, the more momentum I gained, and the more incoming bodies pirouetted through the air above me. Then, my wits caught up with me some more. My neck and ears woke up a bit. I turned to look either side of me. The meat hook in my gut joined by an industrial clamp when I saw just how many others had arrived alongside me or just before. My ears chimed in at this. If there was no wind you can feel, then what's this roaring? Then, I cottoned on. You scream, I scream. We all scream for ice cream, right? Except there was no ice cream. Just thousands of us, all free-falling towards nowhere near here, God knows what. All howling in absolute, bestial, unrestrained panic. The roaring in my ears as I fell wasn't wind rushing past me. It was the collective wails of hundreds of thousands of terrified, confused, naked people hurtling through the abyss. I got a flash of Cassis' words, of the party, and I realized both that I was suddenly incredibly sober and incredibly fucked.
You'll never take another trip like this, Simon. This baby will send you to the fucking afterlife. Total fucking soul death.
Feels silly panicking then, in hindsight. The mad, confused terror of the fall was harrowing, but my undoing had only just begun. Once I turned in mid-non-air and saw what I was plummeting towards, I would have passed out if it were possible without a body. As it was, I could only try and somehow use the lungs that shouldn't even be working to scream louder. I'd been falling for a full 10 minutes before another body slammed into me and rolled me over. I think I'd deliberately not turned to look before that. On one level, because I didn't want to see the ground, or worse, no ground, rushing up to meet me. On another, because, well, on a deeper level, I think I knew. The roaring got louder every minute I fell, and the deepest rumbles in the collective human screams were coming from below. Around and above me were, by now, millions of hurtling figures, in the seething mass that awaited us all at the end of our descent were more bodies than there's a number high enough to count. The carpet of wailing, naked, clawing people below stretched out further into the darkness than could be seen. They were, all of them, scratching and rending one another in their fight to stay on the surface, to reach the red lights that now twinkled far above, like the most distant of deep space stars. Futile, of course, but that doesn't stop them. It won't stop any of us. It's try to make that impossible escape, or sink. Trust me, you don't want to sink. When I go back, I'm going to do everything in my power not to. I can't express to you how loud the sound of their combined howling was. I don't think it could be quantified. Decibels wouldn't cut it. You'd need a whole new measure. If I was in my physical body, my eardrums would have ruptured for sure. But I wasn't in my physical body, was I? Oh, I could still feel all right. There weren't fountains of blood gushing from burst ears, but there might as well have been. What with the grinding drill sensation in my skull?
I just didn't seem to take damage, for lack of a better term. That's why, when I finally crashed into the ocean of flailing human bodies, I got the white flashes of pain as if every bone broke. But none of them actually did. No time to stop and think about that, though. Their hands were on me the second I landed. Grabbing, grasping, gripping, they pulled, tugged, and hoisted. In all directions I was taken by cold, clammy fingers, unyielding and unbreaking in their quest to pull me down, down, down beneath the waves of the agonized dead. Fingers in my mouth, hooking my nostrils, pushing themselves up with my jaw and my ribs and my eye sockets as purchase. I was screaming along with them, panicked beyond comprehension. Brief glimpses of those snarling bodies came to me, lit only by the faint red star in the sky from which more bodies forever fell, but nothing more. The only thing I was really aware of were the crushing iron grips all over my naked skin and the piercing wall of shrieking white noise. I don't know if the frenzied souls trying to submerge me succeeded in the end, or if those above were simply so numerous, the idea of a surface on this ocean is merely an illusion. Before I knew it, I was buried beneath dozens, hundreds, thousands of people, all as unclothed and terrified as I was. I don't know how long I sank for, but I knew it was too long. When the panic had subsided enough for me to start fighting my fate, it was long since too late. It felt like I was there for years, entire cycles of the earth round the sun, knowing nothing but the crush of feet from above and the impotent clawing of hands from below. No light, no heat, no sound. Once you sink deep enough, the bodies are compressed too tightly together for sounds to escape. Years of silence, while reeking once people slather around you. The immense pressure of the depths, slowing movement down to a primordial crawl. Then, when you reach the deepest points, even that stops. That's when you find the long dead. The ones that had given up trying to climb through either madness or despair. I just about sank to their blind domain when there was a sensation. It had been so long in my mind since I'd experienced one that I'd almost forgotten what they were. It was a feeling, a physical sensation beyond the crush of the collective human dead. Cold water on my face. I opened my eyes, not realizing they'd been closed. I winced. There wasn't much light, but there was light nonetheless, and I'd long since become unused to it. There was a face in front of me. A woman's face. A beautiful face. A hideous face. A sculpture and a corpse. Cassis. She didn't say much before I left her there at my friend's friend's acquaintance's party. I didn't give her a chance to.
So, Simon, what do you think of the afterlife? You've got a lot to look forward to, right?
That's when I was running. I was running home, all the way. Even though it was so many miles, the sun had long since risen by the time I arrived. It wasn't her grin that made me run, or the way that devilish scarlet shimmer glimmered brighter than ever in her dark eyes. It wasn't that I could see and realized I had always been able to see the duality in her nature. The two faces, one beautiful, one dead. That's whatever the entity known as Cassis has to ensnare her, its victims. It wasn't even my hands and forearms, how I looked down in horror to see them dark brown with old bruises, all shaped like finger marks and handprints, that proved my Morzan trip was no trip at all. It wasn't even what the Morsanima showed me, truth be told. I didn't even really unpack that until I was already home. It's what I could see when I came back from the trip. I see everyone differently now, dualistically,
every single person. It's not just Cassis. She's something different entirely. Although, I only know that because she's the same in my pre-Morzanimar memories. Everyone else I remember as they're supposed to look when I think back on my life before Cassis' little gold pill. But since I took it, I see. I see their other face, too. Every face I see has a grotesque, hideous counterpart. Even my own. That's why I smashed my mirror. I couldn't take that. That thing looking back at me every time I walked by. I don't know what they are, but I know seeing them slathering up against one another in the party back room was enough to make me run screaming. I could hear Cassis laughing, too. Of course she was. She'd won. I could see the world as she saw it now. The truth of who we are. The condition our souls are in. I'm guessing that's what it is, at least. I walked past a kid on my way home, on the early morning paper route, and theirs wasn't nearly as harrowing, so it makes sense. I don't want to describe them to you, the second faces. If you knew, if you could see the truth of what you are in the eyes of higher beings, you'd struggle to find a reason to carry on. If the despair didn't take you, the madness would. You're better off not knowing how truly ugly we really are, and how utterly too late it is to change it. I think that's why all that awaits us is sinking, is the crush. One more human on the pile, right? We don't even get something as direct and acknowledging of our existence as eternal torture. Convincing myself it was just a bad trip was moot. The bruises hurt like hell. There was no explaining that. Especially since the Morzanimar trip had only taken about 5 minutes. I was also stone cold sober. Going from as fucked up as I was to full sobriety in that short a time is biologically impossible, I think. I found a card with Cassis' name and a number on it in my pocket. I'm going to call her. I can't take the burden of this knowledge. Better to meet my fate head on, right? Besides, I can't live like this. Not now that I can see the truth of what we are, of what I am. Better spend eternity forever fighting to reach the surface than another day fearing bumping into the thousand-eyed, pustulous creature sharing my pervy neighbor's face. At least the sinking is pure. The crush is simple. The struggle is clean. Not like us. Oh, God. Why am I thinking like this? I need to go, I think. Something is happening to me. I don't want to call Cassis. Like I said, she's not human. Although, I don't think that's really so dirty a thing right now. Just being honest. I couldn't find any mention of her, save one. There was a digital copy of an old newspaper from 1993. A local guy around my age had broken into a family home. He'd done something unspeakable to the residents. Husband, wife, the two. Well, you get the picture. Police got him, and when they took him down, he was, according to the paper, raving about a girl. A beautiful girl that looked like a corpse. A girl named Cassis. Her card's on the table. It's taunting me, begging me to call her. I don't know what to do. What if I'm supposed to not call her? What if she wants me to not call? What if she's counting on my new perspective breaking me, making me do something unspeakable? What if that's what happened in 1993? Maybe if I call, if I go back to the sea of bodies one last time, I can make sense of it all. No,
Yes. What's happening? Help.